Grant, Heavenly Father, thy grace and peace over our gathering together and thy forgiveness for all that doesn't please thee. In Jesus' name, amen. We turn to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 51 to 53. We read verses 52 and 53 together. And sent messengers before his face, and they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. The underlying problem in this refusal to receive him was a very old religious prejudice. And that is where we need to begin to look at the problem. It's the difference between religions. When Ashurbanipal took the northern tribes in 721, he replaced them by men from various Kalna and Arpad and the rest of the places, and they were all idol worshippers. You know that lions got among them, you know that a priest came, was sent for, and he taught them the religion of the Jews. They had therefore an ancient copy of the Pentateuch. Now when Nehemiah rebuilt the wall, they offered to help. They meant it sincerely, I've no doubt. He refused. He was quite right to refuse in God's sight, because Messiah is of the Jews, and his genealogy was of the Jews, not of men of Kalna and other races. Therefore he refused to mingle at all with them. That roused the deepest resentment, and from then on there was a bitter spirit between the Samaritans and the Jews. Furthermore, it got worse over the years because the Samaritans said, "We have the best text of Moses' books, the first five books, and you Jews do not have the correct text." They got things worse than that by saying, "We expect a Messiah to come from Gerizim, where we have the rival temple, and we do not accept that the Jews are the race through whom Messiah will come." So they got to a very fierce quarrel. The Samaritans looked for a restorer who they called Tahab, and they still put curses on Ezra to this day when they have meetings together. There is a very great rift. The Jews responded by saying anyone who eats Samaritan food is equivalent to eating swine's flesh and has broken the law. So the two of them were in a fierce quarrel. Now, this is exactly what's happening today. There are fierce interreligious quarrels. The most obvious one is the Muslim hatred of Christians and their bombing of what they call the Christian West. The next most obvious one is what happened at the Reformation, and it's coming to the surface in Northern Ireland as it has in other places. And what has the result has been is the Lord Jesus, who had no religious prejudices against any race, is caught in the middle, and yet not in the middle. Because while he will never condone what is wrong and done by prejudice and bigotry, which was what the Jews were doing, he at the same time is quite clear, as he said to the Samaritan woman, he said, "God is a spirit, and they who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ye Samaritans know not what ye worship." He accused them of being quite lost. Furthermore, he said, "I am he," when she said, "We look for Taber or Restorer to come." He said, "I am the Messiah." So both races looked for Messiah, and Jesus said that the Jews were the race God had chosen, and from them Messiah would come. He told the woman all that perfectly clearly. He only went to four Samaritan towns. He went to major ones. He went to many of them in Israel and many more in Judah. So the Lord Jesus Christ took sides in the quarrel, but he wasn't in the quarrel. He had no grounds for saying this: who eats Samaritan food is like someone who's broken the law and eaten a pig's flesh. And he had no time for the Samaritan view that they had the original law and they had Messiah. So that is where we stand today. We are caught as messengers sent by him between these two sides shooting it out, and we are caught in the middle and blamed by both sides. So the Jews crucified Jesus, and the Samaritans have, to this day, would have nothing to do with him. They turned him out of their village. I suppose when he knocked at the gates, they said, "Begone, we won't have you Jews in here." And the reason was because he set his face as if he would go to Jerusalem. And the great reason that we are hated is we are already accused of siding with the Jews against the Palestinians and siding with them against the Muslims. So that we are caught in the crossfire. And as always happens to those who do not retaliate, we are the ones who get blamed by both sides. Never be a peacemaker, because if you are, both sides will be the ones who blame you. I say that, but I would very much want you to be a peacemaker. Now, we are so caught that the government now says that we are those who stir up hatred and are equal to those who bomb other people. And someone in the government said we were worse than paedophiles. So where do we stand over all this? What should we do about it? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ did this. He sent messengers before his face, and the messengers collected all the hatred that was poured out on him because he wouldn't tell lies and because he'd come from God and said so. You see, he said to the Jews, "If I denied that I'd come from God, I should be a liar like unto you. But I'm not denying it." Now, because we don't deny these things, we are classed as the wickedest of men and the most evil of the lot and the ones who are causing all the trouble. What should we do about it? Well then, the thing that lies before us is this. We have to tell men that they've made a great mistake over the Lord Jesus Christ. What do I mean? Well, James and John, the sons of thunder, remembered Elijah. And they said, "Lord, should we send for fire from heaven against these villages? Will you do it?" And he said, "Ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of." So the first thing we have to tell people is, the Lord Jesus Christ is against retaliation on all sides. Not just theirs, but ours. That is why we look like hypocrites when we deal with Muslims. We're quite plain on the subject of Islam and on the subject of where Muslims are aiming. At the same time, we love them and care for them and want them to receive the truth. And that's where we get stuck. Because the moment we say we have the truth, all on every side arise and say you don't. You only have something out of your own heads, or truth doesn't exist, or what is truth, said Pilate. That is where we stand in the middle. So we're trying to show them that they've made a vast mistake over the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the next thing we're doing is asking them to go further than that and entertain the Lord Jesus Christ in their hearts. And our message to them is, he is willing to enter your life, control it, and greatly change it. Change it utterly for the better. You think if you let him in, he is another nasty person come to take charge of you, to spit at you once he's round the corner, and to generally avail himself of your hospitality to your loss. That is exactly what the serpent told Eve. He at bottom said, God doesn't love you because he's told you not to eat of the best tree in the garden. And if you eat of it, you'll find he's a liar and you'll be as gods. And Eve believed him. And people do believe him. He says, if you refuse the Lord Jesus Christ and run your own life, you'll be a much happier man or woman. You don't want to let him interfere. Our message to them is that we are sent before his face where he himself would come. And if they would listen to us, he that heareth you, heareth me. And he that receiveth me, receiveth my Father which is in heaven, said Jesus. So we're part of a chain. And refusal of us is refusal of him. That is where the keys of Peter lie. The keys of Peter do not lie in some box kept by the Vatican where supererogation is stored up so good works can be given to those who need it. It lies in this, that we have in the gospel the keys of the kingdom. And as we preach, we open the kingdom and we shut the kingdom. We have that power. So we have that power to shut or open. People think that we have the power of Elijah. In the Eastern Church, so Renan, the great atheist of the 19th century, said, he said that in the pictures of the Eastern Orthodox Church, Elijah is always pictured as having severed heads, gory things, all round him, and these are all the enemies of the church. Now, the Lord Jesus rejected that. He said, ye know not what spirit ye are of. So then here we are, asking men to make ready for the second coming. Now, the second lesson that we want to get over to men is what Jesus has got over to us. Ye know not what spirit ye are of. Ungodly men all around us cannot see a difference between bitter and sweet, light and dark, good and evil. They simply are unable to see it. However they behave, they persuade themselves that they are at bottom good. If you want to know why Dickens was so popular, that was his bottom message, that everybody is good at bottom. And all his books end with all the baddies being good at bottom. So that's how it all works out. That everybody has something good underneath. If you want to read Thackeray, you'll find out he points out that all people have their weaknesses, whether it's Becky Sharp or whoever it is. They all have their weaknesses, but they all have their strengths. And so he's highly popular with the world. However, they hate God, and yet they don't believe that they're enemies of him. They persuade themselves, even to the extent that they do God's service if they kill us. That's what Muslims believe, that they do God's service if they were to get rid of us off the face of the earth. And that's not just them. Lots of people feel the same today. They're saying that if you could abolish religion, you would abolish war from the face of the earth. Because all the dissension and trouble in the Middle East and everywhere is caused by the Jews' religion and the Muslim religion. And it's been caused over the centuries by the Christian religion. You see, people are quite unable to see the difference between good and evil. The ordinary person knows not what manner of spirit they are of. They haven't one clue from end to end. And as I talk to them, I realize that that is the basic lesson that needs getting over. The Lord Jesus allowed this to happen in order to show us, his followers, the difference between this evil and good. And he does it very well. Now you look at our lives. The most zealous get to overconfidence and doing things they shouldn't. The strong get to being overstrong and overbearing on others. The weak get to compromise and denial of the Lord Jesus. Then let us ask, why is it that we don't know what sort of spirit we're of? Well now, if you've watched a film, the old films, the goodies and the baddies in the cowboy films were very easy to spot. And it was easy to know who was good and who was bad. But there's nothing that's easy to spot in this life. I notice that some of the men who do the worst crimes on earth are calm-looking businessmen, men who hold high positions, wear good clothes, live in good houses, have good suits on their back, and are generally very well off and very well spoken, happily married and getting along well in life. And yet they do the most terrible things. How is it that they're so self-deceived? Well, I think this. I am totally amazed all the time at the strength of the human intellect. It's finding out things which I couldn't find out in a million years. There's a resilience, a power about the intellect. I see young people answering questions, say on Mastermind on the television. They're half my age and they know 100 times as much. It's amazing to me the power of the human intellect. But when you get those same people to a knowledge of their own hearts, I find that a Christian baby knows more of their own hearts than they do. There's something quite blind about them when they look at themselves. You see, under a feeling of fighting for their land, they're thoroughly prejudiced. Under a feeling of fighting for Christ and his rights, they're quite ready to go to all sorts of lengths you wouldn't. You watch Anglo-Catholics have a demonstration. They say and do things that you and I would be horrified to do. You watch lots of people. The National Front are the only party to have prayers, I believe, and proper prayers at their conference. But look at the way they behave when it comes to dislike of others. So how are we so liable to self-deception? Why does it happen? Well, everybody in this story, except the Lord Jesus, was under a personal strong self-delusion. So there was an arrogance in the Jew, and that was in the disciples. There was a nastiness in there, and a refusal to get rid of old wrongs from their hearts, in the hearts of the Samaritans. And so you'll find that today. Good and bad appear the same to men. So a man who is very covetous and who behaves very badly over money feels that he's being honest. And a man who lives for money feels that he's being wise and prudent. A man who is really unpleasant to other people and prejudiced He calls it by some other name. People who fear others. They all hide it under something. A revengeful spirit says, well, I'm doing this for the sake of other people, so they won't have it happen to them. That's how these things go. Much more than that, men are very slow to face the evil in their own heart. Why? Because each of us has a self-love inside us, and that self-love refuses to see our own actions in their true light. He's like the man who, looking at his face in a mirror, goes away and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he is. So they put the best face on bad things inside them. Well, what are we to do about it? The first thing is, the only thing we can do is obey the Lord Jesus, and in the evening light, with the gathering darkness, trudge off elsewhere. Now, the next thing about it is that we ask men to turn. You see, the worst thing about the Lord Jesus, the worst thing he can do to any man, is gently depart. He passes by. You're either like the beggar Bartimaeus, who cries out till they can't silence him, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Or you're like the Samaritans, who watch through the crack in the gate as Jesus goes off elsewhere. It says he went to another village. It doesn't say a Samaritan village. It may well have been that. Well, whichever it was, what he was teaching was no retaliation. Now, if you refuse the Lord Jesus in any way at all, millions in the world are accepting him in that very way. And Christianity takes wings from many lands, it's done, and departs to other lands. So, there is a village called England, and it's been deserted by the Holy Spirit, and villages called Brazil and India, Vietnam and China and others are filled with the work of God's Holy Spirit. The villages called Singapore and Argentina have vastly more work of the Holy Spirit than villages called United States or Australia. The fact is that he goes to another village. And in this day of worldwide communications, that is very far away. So gently he departs. Again, I want to just say one last thing and I'll end. I would rather be saved alongside the worst drug dealer in this town and the worst woman on the streets in this town and the man who's done the most horrible crimes against children than I would attend a dead church where Christ is not preached. That is prejudice. Prejudice grips us, and we call it that we're just given to standing by our beliefs and standing by all our honest intentions of helping our own lot. But it isn't. It's better to be saved in a church we don't agree with at all than to be damned in a church we do agree with. It's better for Samaritans to have learnt it and the disciples to be saved alongside rather than to stand aloof. Every great Lord needs the same gospel as every beggar who's tramping the streets. And if he refuses to accept the beggar's gospel or the criminal's gospel, he cannot be saved. There is only one gospel there. So then, our great cry is, salvation is of the Jews. Their Messiah is Jesus. And we point there through thick and thin, through hatred and prejudice, through people trying to knock us off course to hurt others, and there we are. An ancient bigotry and ancient prejudices are fighting against us for all they're worth. They take new guises, but God give us grace to stand. Amen.